I'm going to be going through a little bit of a mini series of your heart, your family, and the internet. Tonight, I'm going to be dealing with mainly your heart and your family's heart, not going too much into the internet side of things. That will be covered in the next couple of church family nights. But tonight, I want to walk through scripture as it relates to mainly the content that is on and available and accessible on the internet. So not so much of safety and security of your devices and the internet, but more of your heart and what scripture has to say about what is out there and what should be viewed of what is out there. For those who don't know, I, by trade, by training, am a cybersecurity analyst. I've been doing cybersecurity for almost 18 years now, in one way, shape, or another. For the last 8 years, I've been doing cybersecurity work for the FAA. My boss is back in Virginia. One of my roles is I'm designing the security system for the entire FAA network as we're overhauling the security system. So when it comes to internet security, I do know what I'm talking about. I've got, I forget how many certifications I've got. But unfortunately, most of the toys that I play with are enterprise-level toys, which means they're pricey. So I have tried to do some of the research on some of the more home-level devices and solutions and whatnot to be able to give to you guys to be able to protect yourself and your family and your devices at home and abroad. But I'll be covering more specifics into that in the next couple of family nights. Tonight, I want to deal with the heart and what scripture has to say in regards to the internet. So before I begin, let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would open your word to us tonight as we examine things that are available to us in this day and age so readily and easily, but is not always good and healthy. Lord, we ask that you'd open your word to us that we would understand the condition of our heart, how to guard our heart, and how to watch over what our eyes see and what our ears hear. Lord, we ask that you bless us in the evening tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so just to kind of give you an example, as I said, tonight is mainly content of the internet, not so much the hackers and crackers that are out there trying to get into your devices, but more of what's out there for you to view, to ingest into your eyes and your ears, and what if that is good and healthy and what scripture has to say about that. So for Justin as an example, there was one adult site that they publish statistics every year on the health, if you could call it that, of their website. And for 2015, they boasted that they had 21.2 billion visits. 21.2 billion in 1 year, 2015. That's 6.7 thousand visits per second. Per second. Now, mind you, this is not the adult content on the internet. This is one website that gives that kind of content. One site. They boasted that video that was viewed, let me get my commas right, 4.4 billion hours of video was viewed in 2015. That translates down to 183 million days of video, which is 26 million weeks worth of video, or 501,425 years worth of video was viewed in 1 year from one site. There is a huge, huge problem in the accessibility of content that is out there. And we have to be careful with ourselves, our family, our children, what we have access to, what we willingly choose to go, to view, to ingest into our eyes, into our ears. So once it's there, It's pretty much there for good. Now, it's a little less there for good as I get older and older, but it's pretty much there for good. In fact, I dare say that I could probably, for some of those in the older generation, if I can still not qualify myself in that generation, I could probably play some songs from the 1960s, play 2-3 seconds of the song, and I dare say a lot of the older adults in here would be able to tell me the song that is from just a couple of seconds to a song they haven't listened to for 30 or 40 years. Once it's in there, it's in there. So we have to be careful what we choose to look at. Now, is that to say the internet's bad, turn it off, throw your computers away, smash them up? No, because there's a lot of good stuff on the internet. How many people watch John MacArthur preaching or listen to Grace to You, podcasts of sermons? I've got the Bible on here, both text and I don't remember if I have the audio on this one. I've got some of it at least, audio. These can be very good devices. They can also be very harmful devices. And that all depends on how you use them. Just about like anything that we have available to us. Depends on how you use them. So tonight I want to talk about your heart, because what did Jesus say? You know, he said it in words of what the words that come out of our mouth, but I would take that to an extension of the keys that your fingers click on, where your mouse goes and clicks. That also comes from the heart. So I want to walk through the heart. So, here's the heart of the problem. What is the real heart of the problem? Sin. Sin is the heart of the problem. Sin is at the root of any problem that we have on the internet. And that includes even the hackers and the crackers that are out there trying to break into your stuff. Because if there wasn't sin, they wouldn't try to be stealing your credit card data or your bank account data. So it's not just sin isn't just the root of what our eyes and ears choose to ingest, it's also the root of the cybercrime that goes on. Sin is the root of the problem. As Paul wrote in Romans 3, 10 and 12, or 10 through 12, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And of course, Paul here is quoting from Psalm 14. So even the psalmist is saying, all have sinned. No one seeks after God. See, the problem is, you and I all have a sin nature. We all have, originally, a heart that was dead in our trespasses and sins. We were born spiritually dead, and that is the problem. Once we are made alive, yes, we have a new heart and a new creature. We are a new creature, a new creation, but that doesn't eliminate the sin nature. Man, I wish it did, but it doesn't. We still battle that sin nature. So even for a believer, the real root of the problem is sin. Technology is not the problem. Technology is morally agnostic. My computer does not know what morals is. My computer does not know whether I should or should not be looking at a website. It simply goes where it's told to go. The driver is the one who chooses where it goes, most of the time. And I'll get into that in future lessons. The driver is the one who chooses where it goes. We're the ones who choose what it does. It is our sin nature that is driving it. It does not drive our sin nature. As it says in Jeremiah 17, 9, and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And James 1, 14 to 15 says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. See, it is our problem, it is our sin nature that drives us to be tempted, and when we fall to that temptation, to sin. So in Genesis 39:9, says, he is not greater in this house than I am. This is Joseph when Potiphar's wife is enticing him. Nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? Sin against God. See, our sin, although we may sin against each other, our sin first and foremost is a sin against God, our maker and creator. It is a sin against our Lord and Master. Whatever we do, that is a sin. Yes, we sin against each other, but it's primarily a sin against him. See, that's where ultimate lies. And David, the psalmist, knew this. He commits adultery with Bathsheba. He murders Uriah. He's confronted. And what does Psalm 51 say? Against you, God, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. David knew his sin was against God, first and foremost. So we need to recognize that when we fall in temptation, when we sin, whether it's computer-related or not, our sin is against God, our Lord and Maker. It is because of that he died on the cross, to forgive us of our sin. No matter what sin it is, we also have to remember, no sin is greater than his forgiveness. It doesn't matter what the sin is. There is no sin that is greater than his mercy and grace. We can be forgiven any sin. So, the real root of the problem is sin. But now I want to talk about what does the scripture have to say on the subject of purity? And here specifically, I'm talking about purity of our eyes and our ears, what we can read, what we can view, what we can watch. And I'm kind of relating it back to the internet because that's kind of where I'm going for my focus. But it really relates to anything. Movies, radio, books, you name it. Whatever our eyes see, whatever our ears hear. And again, I am merely scratching the surface of what the Bible has to say about purity. I'm not even going to become close to covering, because if I remember correctly, let's see, I've got one verse in here from Proverbs. Dan, how much does Proverbs have to say about purity? Yeah. Okay. You can, and probably people probably have written books on that. I'm only covering one verse, and it really has nothing to do with purity. It has more to do with children listening to their parents. So again, I'm only scratching the surface because I've only got 15 minutes left. So 1 John 2:16, for all that is in this world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. See, in today's culture, especially with our instantaneous access to media, internet, radio, TV, you name it, we have instant access. In our culture, we are bombarded daily with a worldly, ungodly philosophy, a non-Christian, humanistic, whatever you want to call it, worldview. Anything but what is Christian. Anything but what is biblical. That is the predominant majority of what is out there. Pick your sitcom. Turn the TV on today. Pick a sitcom. I don't care what sitcom it is. And I will almost guarantee you the father is either absent or he is a stupid buffoon of a father. Anything but what a Christian, godly father should be. And we're not even talking about what's considered morally and impure. We're talking about what's considered comedy in our day and age. But we're bombarded with it day in and day out. That desire of the flesh, that desire of the eyes, that's not from God. That's from the God of this world. That's from the world's culture, society. So we need to be careful with what we choose to bring into our eyes and bring into our ears. Can anybody name me another way of learning other than eyes and ears, except for Braille, except unless you're blind and use Braille. Can you learn other than seeing it or hearing it? If you read a book, you're learning, you're reading, you're ingesting that. So in today's day and age, we have to be careful what we ingest, what we choose to watch, TV, what movies, internet, what we choose to listen to, radio, music. We need to be careful of that, and we need to make sure that what we're watching, what we're listening to, lines up that would be something that would be honor and glorifying to God. And I'm not talking about style of music. What do the words say? If Jesus Christ was sitting next to you in the passenger seat as you drive down the road, do you think the Son of God would want to listen to what you're listening to? It works for the internet too. If Jesus Christ pulled up a chair next to you, would he be pleased with what is displayed on your computer screen? Would it be something that draws you closer to him or pulls you further away from him? See, Luke 6:45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil of his treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As I said, I would also say, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth clicks. It's your heart. What is in here is what's going to come out in the typing, in the clicking, in the reading. We need to be careful with what is in our heart. Matthew 5:27-28 says, you have heard it said, or you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has committed adultery with her in his heart. It's not just the physical actions that get you into trouble. It's not just the physical actions that are sinful. It's the thought life. It's the heart. I guarantee you, every single person who has fallen to any kind of a sexual sin fell first in their heart and in their thought life before any action was carried out. I guarantee you there was sin before there was physical action of sin, because we fall first in our thought life and in our heart. And we need to guard that. We need to be careful of where our thoughts go. And we need to guard them and keep them in line with the Word of God. Job said in Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? See, the Bible not only has instructions for us on what not to do and what we need to guard, like Job here, I've made a covenant with my eyes. How can I then gaze at a virgin? We need to make sure that we are doing, not only saying, okay, I need to put off the sin, I need to guard my heart, I need to watch out for my sinful thoughts and actions. But there's not just a not doing. There's also a proactive doing that we need to do. So Job didn't just sit back and say, oh, I'm just not going to look. He made a covenant with his eyes. I am purposefully going to take action not to look. When we talk about making a covenant with our eyes and taking action not to look, when we talk specifically about the internet, there are sites that obviously should not be gone to. What about the sites that are, eh? Obviously, sites that have nudity should not be visited, right? What about Sports Illustrated? What about Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition? Is there any reason, any legitimate reason, that any person in this church would have to go to Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition website? It's no nudity-ish. But does going to sites like that produce godly thoughts? So it's not just the quote-unquote adult websites. It's sites that don't have that type of material, that do not lead us closer in our walk with God. And as I said before, anything that does not lead us closer in our walk with God should be avoided. It doesn't matter what it is or how fun it is or how harmless it is. If we can't do it to the honor of glory of God, we should not be doing it. As John Piper has said, yes, it is possible to drink a glass of orange juice to the glory of God. Because Paul told us, everything you do, do to the honor and glory of God. That means what we eat, what we drink, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, everything we do can be done to the honor and glory of God. And if we are not doing it to the honor and glory of God, no matter what it is sin. So we need to be careful that we're doing everything to seek God's honor and God's glory in our walk with Him, drawing us closer to Him, and anything that is not along that path should be avoided. Psalm 101, 1 through 4 said, I will sing of the steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Notice, he didn't say, I will walk with integrity of my heart when I'm in public. He said, within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. And as the psalmist said, we need to agree with this. We need to strive to know nothing of evil. We need to strive to walk with integrity of heart within our house, without in public. It doesn't matter where we are. Now, kids, I want to ask you, what does integrity mean? Sin. No. Okay. Anybody want to tell me what integrity means? All right, I'll give you the Air Force definition that was given to me at boot camp, because integrity is one of the core values of the Air Force. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is looking. Doing the right thing even when no one is looking. When you're at home alone, doing the right thing. When you're alone in your house, making sure that website is a good one, that the music you're listening to is good. Kids, as you get a little bit older and your parents give you a little bit more freedom, they leave you at home alone and they tell you, I want you to do the dishes and I want you to put your clothes away while I'm gone. Integrity would be what? Doing the dishes and putting your clothes away. Not having integrity would be turning the TV on. Doing the right thing, being obedient, even when nobody else is watching. Because even if I'm not there to watch my kids and Grant's not there to watch his kids and Dan's not there to watch his kids, even if nobody else is around, you're the only one in the house, or you're out in the back 40 hunting up the Yetna River and nobody else is around for miles, God is still there. God knows your heart. He sees what is inside your heart. He knows your thoughts before you do. As we remember, as I said, when we sin, who are we sinning primarily against? God. He knows. Even if nobody else does, even if nobody else sees and nobody else finds out, your Lord and Maker knows. So we need to watch and be careful, pay attention, to purposely walk with integrity, to do what is honor and glorifying to Him. Proverbs 4, 20 and 23 says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. And here it says, my son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Does that mean, yep, I heard you, thanks, now I'm going to go my own way? Is that what Solomon said when you wrote that? No, it's not what he meant. Listen and obey. Keep my words. Do what I'm telling you. So children, that's a task on you. To listen to what your parents are instructing you, especially when they're instructing you from Scripture. Especially when they're teaching you how to live rightly. Pay attention. Listen. Learn. Obey. Parents, flipping this back on us. If our children are supposed to listen to our instruction, what are we supposed to be doing? Instructing them. If we fail to instruct them, how are they going to listen? Because they're going to listen, trust me, and they're going to hear a whole lot of nothing. And that's not good. So it is our children's job to listen, to be attentive. It is our job as parents to be instructive and to teach them the right way so that they can live according to Scripture. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So, see, it's not just enough for us to go, okay, I'm not going to think about this bad stuff. All right, now what am I supposed to think about? I'll just empty my mind, not think about the bad stuff. Does that work? No, it doesn't work. Not only do we have to guard our heart against what is evil and consciously not dwell on it, we have to replace it. We have to dwell on what is good, what is pure, what is just, what is commendable. So it's not enough just to put off the old. We also must what? Put on the new. So it's a twofold action. It's a put off, but put off is not enough. It must be put off and put on. So am I saying get rid of technology? Am I saying get rid of the internet? Obviously not. I've got a phone. I've got tablets. I've got a computer. I've got 2 27-inch widescreens in my office. I'm obviously not one to say, get rid of technology. What I am saying is be careful on how you use it. Be careful what is projected on that screen. Make sure that what is given on that screen for you to look at is what is, as Paul said here, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, if it's worthy of praise. That's what we need to be putting on our computer screens. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-8 said, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles do who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. You see, we, especially for those who have professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as believers, we have been called to holiness. We have been set apart, called after him, to walk in his way, to be like Christ, to be set apart as a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That is our calling. Not to be as close as we can be to the world and not quite cross that line. We have been called to be as far from that line as we can possibly get. We have been called to be separate from the world. Not to be as close to the world as we can get. We need to be that holy life. As God said, be holy because I am holy. And in order to do that, we need to constantly be putting off the old, putting on the new. And that goes in every aspect of life. Tonight, kind of directing towards technology, but it's not just technology. That's every aspect of life. It's what we think, what we do, obeying our parents, the books we read, the music we listen to, the magazines we subscribe to. Everything should be done through a lens that says, is this going to bring me closer to my walk with Christ? Is this going to grow me in my sanctification? Is this something that is pleasing and honoring to God? And if it is, great, go forth and do. If it's not, put off and put on. All right, I think I'm out of time, so let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do ask that you give us the courage, the ability to be obedient, to be faithful, to obey you as those who have been called after your name. Father, that we would follow you, that we would be obedient in what we say, what we do, what we watch, what we think about. Father, that you would give us the ability to guard our hearts against sin, to put off the old man and to put on the new. Lord, we ask that you would give us the strength to be obedient to what you have called us to be, that you'd give us the ability to be holy as you are holy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.